Amen. Glory to God. Well, God is good. Amen. Has anybody besides me been walking in victory? Because I've been walking in victory, man. Glory to God. God is, he is a God of victory, right? Amen. And he is given us the spirit of victory. Amen. So it's a victory is like a, it's an atmosphere. It's a sensing. It's a spirit that you walk with, right? You know, I remember in high school we would have, you know, spirit rallies before the football game. You know, what was that to do? It'd get us all jacked up about the game that night and get excited about it, even if our opponent seemed unformidable, or whatever the right word is. They were tough, but I mean, we were just like, come on, we can take down any giant, right? And so church is like a spirit rally, yeah, right? We come in here and we say, yes, we can, hallelujah. We can overcome. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ. See, religion focuses on what you can't do. You ain't supposed to do that. You ain't supposed to do that. You got to quit this. You got to quit that. Well, the Bible tells me I can do all things through Christ. And that doesn't mean sin. It just means I can do all things through Christ, the anointed. Everything he's called and anointed me to do, I can do it. And he has called and anointed us to be victors. See, we got to shake off all kinds of victim mentality. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. Well, I just didn't have the parents that so-and-so had. It does not matter what kind of parents you had, right? We can overcome anything through Christ, right? With his ability in us, we can. That's why it's important. That's why I always say, if I wasn't saved, you know what I would do? I would get saved, right? Because, man, that's right there. That's the first step into victory right there. Stepping into that realm of victory with Jesus Christ, knowing that, you know, the Bible never said we wouldn't go through stuff. It just says he's going to be with us in the middle of it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for those who may not know who that is, that's like, man, that's three really weird names. But for those who don't know who that is, it's three Hebrew children that were in these three Hebrew guys back in the Old Testament. And, you know, the worldly king said, when I'm going to blow this trumpet, and I built this idol of myself. This is what the king said. I built this idol of myself, and we're going to unveil it, and I'm going to blow the trumpet. When the trumpet blows, I want everybody to bow down and worship that idol of me. And these three guys go, nope, not doing that. We have one king and one king only, and that's God. And so we're not bowing to your idol. And he said, well, if you don't bow the idol, then I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And they basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, but they basically said, king, do what you got to do. You do you, buddy. But we're going to do us. And we serve, we worship God. And so I'm going to continue to stand for my king. I will not bow to you. End of the story. They threw him into the fiery furnace. You know, and it was, and they, in fact, it enraged the king so much that they wouldn't bow. He says, turn up the furnace seven times hotter than normal. And we know that they did that, and we know that it was hot because the Bible says when the guards took them and threw them in, when they opened the door, it killed the guards because it was so hot, but not the three Hebrew guys. In fact, they're tied up. They had them tied up, and they get in there, and all of a sudden, you know, they're just kind of looking around like, well, this is kind of cool, right? And the king looked down, and he says, I thought we threw three Hebrew guys into the furnace. We did, O king. And he said, well, that's crazy because I see a fourth one in there, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Jesus will go through your furnace with you. He will go through your mess with you. And when Jesus is going through your mess with you, he will bring you out of your mess and give you a message. Hallelujah. He will give you a testimony. How many know you can't have a testimony without a test? That's why it's a test-a-money. Right? So if you will get Jesus in your furnace with you, you get Jesus in your life as you go through challenges. The Bible says no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. No weapon that is formed. How many know that furnace was formed? How many know that giant David faced? He was definitely formed. But no weapon formed against us shall prosper. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me. In other words, God says, I will vindicate you. It doesn't. God never said that you wouldn't go through stuff, but he says, I'll be you with you in the middle of it. Even the guys that walked with Jesus, they got in the boat and a big old storm came up out of nowhere. Hurricane strength storm. But Jesus was with them in the boat. They were all freaking out. He was sleeping in the back of the boat in the middle of a hurricane. Right? But he's like, yo, ye of little faith. And then he looked at the storm and he says, peace, be still. And as quickly and as powerfully as that storm showed up, just as quickly and peacefully it went away. Right? As long as Jesus is in your boat, you're good. If Jesus is not in your boat, that's a problem. I don't want to go through it. I went through enough problems without Jesus. Now I gave my life to Christ years and years ago. And then because I did, this is encouraging. Because I did, I've gone through more storms. But there's a big difference. Now I've got Jesus in my storm. Now I had something in me that told me, that's okay, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. It's okay, no matter what the devil throws at me, I'm going to overcome it. It can be an illness, it can be a sickness, it can be an injury, it can be financial troubles, it can be marriage troubles, it can be kid troubles, it can be whatever your issues are, but Jesus is in my boat. See, that's the spirit of faith. That's the spirit of faith. The devil's acting up again? All right, well, God, you got mail, right? God, we got another issue. I'll just let you handle it, right? That's the spirit of faith, not letting things. See, things can happen to you, but what you need to not let happen is don't let it get in you. Don't let it get in you. Well, how do you let it get in you? Would you take the thoughts? By you start meditating and looking at how many people have died from this? Start getting online. You start looking stuff up about your, look up what happened to people my age and my gender and my whatever. And then we start looking how many people have died from this. How did it affect them? It doesn't matter how it affected them. You've got Jesus. See, I don't go looking up everything going, oh my goodness. Look how many people have died because of what. Forget all that. I've got Jesus. Jesus makes the difference. Amen. Glory to God. I came to preach on victory, but I didn't come say all that. But it's good nonetheless. Amen. The point, moral of the story, get Jesus in your boat. Get Jesus in your boat. Let him be with you in your storm, because the Bible says in the world we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through struggles. Struggles come to all of us. The difference is who's in your boat. Who's in the storm with you? And if Jesus is in your storm, he can bring you out of the storm. He can bring you through the storm. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, how many have your Bibles with you? Yep. Hold them up. I used to do this a long time ago. Haven't done it a lot until last Sunday. But hold your Bibles up. I like what one guy said. He says, make the devil mad and the bookstores happy. Come on, lift up your Bible. Amen. Say this with me. Come on, say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. It is the incorruptible, indestructible, ever living seed of the Word of God. As I plant this seed today in my heart, it will produce good stuff for me. Because I have a spirit of faith. So therefore, I decree and I declare as a king in this earth, good things in my life. God's word is God's word speaking to me, and it works in my life. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, shout hallelujah. I said if you believe that, shout. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's a little better. All right, praise God. Come on, was that a faith-filled shout?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We talked last week about a faith-filled shout, man. We're ready to give the devil a big old headache. Amen, by giving some faith-filled shouts. Amen. Well, go with me to Jeremiah. Hallelujah. Joshua, excuse me, not Jeremiah. It's one of those J guys. I'm going to be reading most of my scriptures probably out of the New King James today, a couple of them out of the New Living. But let's look at this. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this verse here because I really taught on it last week. But there's something here I want to use as a springboard into what we're going to get into today. And I'll share that with you in just a little bit. But let's look at this verse in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. And if you don't have a Bible with you or you don't have a Bible app and you're not following, it'll be on the screens. And we can help you that way. All right. But let's look at this verse. It says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up." In other words, Jericho was this big city, and they knew the Israelites were coming, and so they were all in fear of their lives. In fact, most of Jericho, just a little tidbit here for you, most of Jericho didn't live in the walls, inside the walls of Jericho. They lived in the outlying areas, but they had all heard, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think I read that Jericho was only about 11 acres big. But all the people from the outlying areas heard the Israelites were coming, and they knew that they had this God that always helped them to get victory. So they're like, ah! And so they all ran inside the walls. And that's why it says the walls were that the gates were tightly shut up. None went out and none came in. And it goes on to tell you, because of the children of Israel, right? So it says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up," or tightly shut up, depending on the translation you're reading, "because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." Now notice verse 2, and this is all I'm going to touch on in Joshua today. "And the Lord said to Joshua, see." Everybody say, see.
See.
Say it again, say, see.
See.
Okay. He said, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand and its kings and all the men, mighty men of valor." See. What was God saying? He was trying to paint an image of victory. In fact, he didn't just say see, did he? He said see, and then he told him what he wanted them to see. Now, he was not asking them to, okay, guys, wake up. Open your physical eyes and look around. Because they had physical eyes and they were looking around, and all they saw was big, 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 big walls. Big giant walls that were designed to keep people in, and big giant walls that were designed to keep people out. None came in, none went out, right? So that's all they saw with their natural eyes. We're going to talk about two different types of vision here in just a little bit. But he said, but God wasn't talking about opening your physical eyes, was he? He was saying, open your spiritual eyes. See, and then he told them what he wanted them to see. I have given. How many know the walls of Jericho are the ones that fell down flat? After 7 days of walking around the wall, we talked about it last week, preached on it, right? All that. If you weren't here, the message is online. Go check it out. It's on our website. Avery's so awesome and faithful to get those on for us. So go back and listen to that message. It's an amazing message. But see, after 7 days, they began to shout before the walls fell down. See, a lot of people want to wait for God to do something for them and then shout. But we talked last week about a faith-filled shout. If you wait for something good to happen before you shout, that's not a faith-filled shout. That's a responsive shout. I'm responding because something good happened. But faith responds before the thing changes. Faith responds before the symptoms leave. Faith responds before the challenge diminishes. Right? Faith is what causes those things to leave and to diminish. See, and God told them, he said, look, see, this is what I want you to see. I have given, past tense, I have already given you Jericho. And I told you last week that they did not shout at the wall trying to create enough volume, to create enough sound waves to get through the air and pound that those rock walls and cause that rock to begin to crumble. And it wasn't their shout, their physical verbal shout that caused the walls to fall. It was because they did things God's way. It wasn't the reverberation and the vibration of their voices that caused the wall to fall. It was because their shout was filled with faith, because God had already, they had spent a whole week walking around this wall thinking about what God said. Just keep walking. We're going to keep on walking. Man, I'm just thinking, oh man, just 6 more days, just 5 more days, just 4 more. What were they doing? They were building an image. Why did God tell them why he wanted them to do this? He said, because I've already given you the victory. See, I've already given you Jericho and its king and all of its mighty men of valor. See it. Amen. Go with me to Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Hallelujah. Today, I want to talk to you about a vision of victory. The vision of victory. Hallelujah. Because God told them right here, he says, see it. See it. How do we see things, right? We see with our natural eye, but we also see with our spiritual eye. See, we see natural things with our natural eye, but we see victory with our spiritual eye, and then our natural eye will see the victory later. Amen? Does that help anybody? Come on. All right, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 in the New King James, it says this. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraints, but happy is he who keeps the law, or because we're in the New Covenant, happy is he who keeps the word. Pastor Edler was talking a while ago about getting a word from God. And we're going to be talking a bit about that a little bit today, if I get that far. This is so good. I came up, I gave Bill and Bruce all my scriptures. I said, yeah, I probably won't get to all these today. So, but hey, there's always next week. See, my goal is not to cram all my verses into one message. My goal is to help you to see. You know, and we talk like that on the normal basis, don't we? You know, me and Avery be talking and I'll say, do you see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? What am I asking you to do? Get that image in your head. Get that image in your heart. That's what God was saying. Get that image. Get that understanding in your heart of what God is saying and what God has for you. See, where we get the vision, where the vision of victory, what the vision of victory is, it's seeing all the good stuff that God has for you. You're believing God for healing. Do you get up every day and begin to picture yourself healed? Or have you just been sick so long, you just picture yourself hobbling along? Or you picture yourself, you know, being weak? Maybe you're struggling in your finances. Do you see yourself jobless again? Do you see yourself in defeat? Do you see yourself having to try and explain to your creditors and debtors why you can't pay the bill again this week? Do you see yourself going through that? Or do you get up and you go, oh, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're my provider. Do you begin to see yourself paying off all those debts? Do you see yourself paying off all those debts? Do you see yourself being able to walk normally? Do you see yourself not being limited by your physical condition? Do you see yourself being able to walk in victory? See, God wants you to get a vision of victory. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29. Well, let me tell you what it says in that word revelation, where it says where there is no revelation. That word revelation means prophetic vision. See, prophetic sees things in the future. Prophetic sees things in the future. And what the Bible tells us is if you don't have a prophetic vision for your life, you're not going to receive the things that you really say you want. Ask them, what do you want God to do for you? I want him to heal me. Well, okay, that's awesome, but that's very general. What does that mean? Well, heal me. Well, what would that mean to you? I know there's been times here even recently that the enemy had attacked me in my physical body and you know, caused some things to happen to help me to see that maybe I need to change my diet or change my exercise plan or whatever. And for a couple of days, it kind of rocked me. And I'm like, you know, the enemy's throwing all these negative images at me, you know. And finally, I'm just like, oh, no. I put on my earphones and I grab me some Keith Moore and I start pumping healing preaching into my ears. Until as I'm walking down the street doing my part. See, some people just want prayer, but they don't want to change anything. But what the president of our Bible college, he always said this, Pastor Hagin back in Oklahoma, he said it's the natural and the supernatural coming together to make an explosive force for God. Sometimes, how many know you can't curse calories in Twinkies? Well, I break the power of those calories. They will not get in my body. Well, the only way those calories are not going to get in your body is if you don't eat that Twinkie. You know, if you're dealing with different things, you can't say, I just command all that sodium to drop. I command that sugar to just not even get in my body. And the Lord's like, okay, we're on the right track. That means you're not going to eat it. So often we want to pray, we want to put everything on God. But how many know there is a God part and there is an us part? Right? We got to do right by these temples that He gave us. I said these temples. The Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. How many know you need to take care of your temple? You spend way more time taking care of your house physically that you live in, but you don't take care of this house that spiritually you're living in. Right? Because you, and most people don't even know that. You, this body is not me. This is just a house I live in. My spirit lives in this house. That's why this body's able to move and wiggle and do weird things. Right? But the real me, the spirit of me, one day this body's going to stop and my spirit's going to go, woo, I'm in the glory now. Hallelujah. No more limited by these earthly bodies. I don't have to feel those aches every morning. Hallelujah. I don't have to deal with the struggles and the limitations of this body. Hallelujah. Lord's going to meet me right there. I'm going to step out and the angel's going to go, ah, you're going to glory. Do you want to take the long route or the short route? Because the long route has some pretty amazing things. I say, take me all the way through the Milky Way, baby. I want to see things I've never been able to see. Amen? Come on, that's going to be a beautiful day. Hallelujah. But he says here, where there is no vision. The King James Version says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, where there's no prophetic vision, when you don't have a vision for what you want God to do for you, and you just settle into what the enemy's thrown at you, what the world has thrown at you. Whether it be sickness and disease or poverty and lack or lack of peace or no joy. You're just living a joyless life. Come on, start getting a vision of I'm a happy person. I'm joyful. How do you overcome anxieties? How do you overcome depression? Begin to get a vision that, hey, I don't have depression. Glory to God. I'm happy. I'm excited because Jesus is in my boat. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Amen. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I can do. Well, I just can't do that because of this condition or that condition. No, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Glory to God. Amen, amen. So where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no prophetic revelation, God wants us to see. One guy says it this way. Faith helps you to see yourself in the future. See, so many people are so focused on what they're going through right now that they can't get their eyes off of what they're going through and look at where God wants to take them. God wants you well. He wants you healed. But how many people don't, even Christians, they say they're believing God. And so I've learned to ask this. You come up to me and tell me, well, I'm just believing God, Pastor. What does that mean? What are you believing? Because how many know a lot of people believe a lot of different things about God? Some people believe that everything happens is the will of God. So excuse me if you come to for prayer and I ask you, what are you believing for? What do you believe God's going to do for you? How many know Jesus did that? Remember the two blind guys? Son of David, have mercy on. He goes, says, what do you want? Jesus, talking to blind guys. He knew they were blind. Jesus was not like in oblivion. What do you want me to do for you? I have no idea. No, Jesus knew they were blind. But what did he ask them? What do you want me to do for you? What was he doing? He was trying to help them to get a vision of what they wanted from him. We need to get a vision. Oh, man. I remember when the enemy was attacking me, I began to tell the Lord, Lord, I thank you for my body is healed, healthy, whole, and well. I thank you, Lord, that this part is doing exactly. And I began to envision that part functioning in the perfection in which God created it to function. I quit looking at obstructions. I quit looking at things that could possibly cause it to foul up. I began to look at, oh, no, that part worked. My parts work perfectly. Amen. What am I doing? I'm getting a vision for how God wants every part in my body to function. Amen? I get a vision for how God wants my money to work for me. Come on. I get a vision for how God wants my marriage to be happy. I get a vision for how God wants me to raise my children in the way they should go, that when they depart from, when they get older, they will not depart from their faith, trust, and confidence in God. Amen. Get a vision for where you can't go in. You can't even go on vacation without a vision. Yeah. How many's ever gone on a vacation without a vision? Don't raise your hand. You've never done it. You've never done it. You've never gone. You have never, ever, ever. I'm telling you, you have never gone on vacation without a vision. Not if you planned it. Because planning your trip, where did you want to go on vacation? Well, I went to Disneyland. Well, why did you go to Disneyland? Because that's where I wanted to go. That's vision. Unless you were a child and you were 3 years old or 5 years old and you were asleep when mom and dad packed you in the car and you had nothing to do with the planning, you didn't go on vacation without a vision. But even then, when you woke up and found out you were going to Disneyland, I assure you, you begin to have vision. You begin to have vision about what rides I'm going to ride, what I'm going to spend my money on, what's all the fun things we're going to do. That's vision. Hallelujah. Nobody ever plans to go on vision and go, oh, man, I can't wait till we get on vacation. Lord, I can't wait till we go on vacation. I'm so looking forward to that car wreck. I'm so looking forward to getting robbed. Man, that's going to be exciting. How exhilarating. You don't do that. No, when you're going on vacation, things like that, you go on vacation because you want to enjoy it. You want to relax. Sometimes mine and Heather's vacation, ooh, I can't wait till we can get there so we can chill and do nothing. Right? Hallelujah. All right. So where there is no prophetic vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, Lord. You guys got to come back next week to get the better part of this. Hallelujah. I'll cover this one, and I think we'll probably quit. Man, all the good stuff is down here, though. All right, next week, right? But let me give you this part. Let me give you this part. Let me give you this part. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this is also in the New King James. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. It says this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So this is kind of crazy speech, isn't it? While we do not look at things which are seen, but we were looking at the things that are not seen. How do you see things that are not seen? With the eye of faith. With your spiritual eye. In other words, the Lord's like, look at what I've promised you, not at what you're going through. Look at what I've promised you with the eye of faith. Look at what I've promised you with your spiritual eyes. Don't just depend and look completely with your natural eyes. But too many people, too many believers, they look at their circumstances. They look at their situation. They look at their crisis as if the crisis is gospel. In other words, they revere, have more honor and respect for the conditions they're going through than they revere, honor, and respect what God's word says about what they're going through. Right? We got to get our honor in the right place. We got to learn to respect God's word above every challenge, every struggle. Amen? That was worth coming for today. Hallelujah. But he says here, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. Remember we talked last week about how God, Abram called God this. He says he looks to the God who brings the dead back to life and calls things that be not as though they are. Calls things that be not as though they are. And we've covered this before, but he did not say to call things that are as though they're not. So he didn't say, go around saying, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I have no problems. I have no struggles. I have no challenges. What do you need prayer for? I am healed. Hallelujah. Then why are you standing up here? Because I'm healed. No, he says, call things that be not as though they are. If you're struggling with a sickness or a physical challenge, God didn't say go around thinking about and talking about the physical challenge. I know I talked a little bit about this last week, but this point bears repetition. Because too many people do it way too often. I am just as susceptible to this kind of thinking as anybody else if I'm not careful. When the enemy challenged me and began to attack my body, I mean, I caught myself starting to go down roads that I shouldn't be going down. And I'm like, whoa, no, wait, no, I'm not thinking that way. And I begin to put on faith teaching. Things that's going to build my faith in the area that I need my faith built in. And in that situation, it was a physical challenge. So I began to put on healing preaching, man. Just load myself up with being encouraged that God's word is greater than every challenge. Me being a pastor does not make me any less susceptible to things than anybody else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have to do the things we need to do to get the victory we need to get. Amen. So while we do not look at the things which are seen, quit looking at the things. Quit looking at the challenges. I said it last week, I believe. You know, once you're aware of the challenge, that's all you need to know. And everybody and their neighbor and their dog and cat don't need to know about your challenge. Right? You're like, okay, oh, I see what the devil's doing. That's all I'm talking about that. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the more you talk about your challenge, the more of a vision of your challenge you're getting. And your life is going to go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. That's just another way of saying your life's going to go in the direction of the vision that you have for your life. If all you talk about, all you think about is the challenge, the challenge, the challenge, the challenge, the challenge, then not only are you going to walk, you're going to continue to walk with that challenge, but you're going to continue to draw those kind of challenges to you. Right? Because your words and your thoughts are magnets. What you meditate up on, that's why Joshua says, meditate day and night upon the word, that you may observe to do all that's written in it. Then your way will be made prosperous, and then you will have good success. Focus on the word. Focus on the promises of God. But this is a good one good reason to focus on the promises of God is this. He says all the promises in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 21, all the promises of God in him are yes. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say wait a while. He said yes. All the promises, God didn't say all the promises of God in him are, well, I'll think about it. He said, all the promises of God are in Jesus are yes and amen. All right? Did you guys get anything out of this today? I ain't done, but I'm done. Right? We will continue this next week, and you don't want to miss it. It's good. It's going to be amazing. So I encourage you to come back. Don't let the enemy distract you and get you focused on some other thing. I wouldn't miss next week. Right? Well, go and stand up on your feet.